Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Half Hour of Power. I am Joe. Brandon is here.
Yo, yo, Joe. What do you know?
Hey, Brandon, how you doing? You having a good week?
Yeah, I'm having a good week.
What? Are you still pouting?
Yep.
You did not get to see this movie, and we're going to talk about it.
That's why I'm not liking this.
Well, I mean, it's your fault.
I'm sorry that I'm busy, sir. And I like to watch. I wanted to see Dune 2. I'm sorry.
You watched Dune 2, everybody, instead of Godzilla Kong. Some people might say that that was a good idea and a better thing. Some people might say that, but since Dune 2 has been out for a long time, other people might say not that. But we do have a special guest with us today, Brandon, don't we?
Huh?
We have a special guest today. We have Mr. Brett with us.
How you doing, Brett?
That's me.
And we are all... Yeah. Brett and I have seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I mean,
we get to talk about everything about it. And I know Brandon was kind of like, don't spoil it for me.
Yeah.
We were talking. But I said to Brandon, I reminded him, we talk about spoilers on our show all the time, Brandon.
I'm supposed to want to help spoil it.
Well, that's the way it goes today. That's just what's going to happen. Brett, you are a big Godzilla fan?
I have been watching Godzilla since I was in diapers and in my onesies.
Oh, really?
All right. So can you tell us how that started? Does that mean your mother popped on Godzilla and sat you down?
Well, it was either my mother or my grandmother, and I just remember just ever since I was little just having heaps and heaps of VHSs of Godzilla movies.
So what was it about it that kept you going back?
Funny big giant rubber suit monster go rawr.
Okay, but did you know that there was rubber suits when you was younger?
Oh yeah, I mean I could kind of tell it's rubber suits. I mean I figured as much, but I'm like, this is awesome looking. I'm gonna watch more of it.
So you didn't think that was real? You thought that was
true? Well, I was a kid and I wanted to pretend they were real, sure, but I mean I could tell that there was like, oh, this is like guys in suits, I think, when I was little.
So like when Barney came on, you knew that was not, you know, real, you know,
those guys. I kind of had the whole people in suits thing ruined for me when I was little because one, my uncle kind of spoiled the surprise for me when I was like watching Sesame Street when I was little.
Oh wow.
And when I was also like really little, I got to meet the guy who played Bear and Bear in the Big Blue House.
What?
Yeah, I got to meet him on stage one day. It was pretty cool.
That's nice. That's awesome.
So I kind of understood the whole concept of like people in suit pretending to be like monsters or animals or whatever, so I like knew the concept existed as a kid.
Hmm. So, Brandon, is this the first time you and I are doing a Godzilla movie?
Yes.
Because Jesse and I did.
Yeah, I think I did the King of Monsters, didn't you?
Well, we did the 2014 one. We probably did the King of the Monsters.
Well, I mean, is it
then
really
we did a nice overview movie? Show of Godzilla?
But is it really me doing a Godzilla movie because I didn't get to go see it yet?
Did you not see this yet?
I haven't seen it. I'm for real. I haven't got to go see this movie yet. I have a list of movies that I have to see for this show. Okay.
Yeah.
So trust me, King Godzilla was not the first one that was on top of my list at the time.
Well, I'm sorry that you haven't seen this yet. We'll tell you who dies at the end.
Don't do that. No.
Yes.
No.
But you can do this at least, Brandon, even though you haven't seen it. You can do the Rotten Tomatoes guessing.
Okay, I can do
that. What do you think the critics are saying about this movie, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire?
From the rumor mills, the critics are not liking it too well, so I'm going to say that they're giving it a 56%.
He was close.
I'm going to call shenanigans.
See, I told you. I told you.
I think you cheated. And you changed the number just enough so that you can have plausible deniability. All right, 54%. But no, Brandon's actually really good at guessing these scores. Him and Jesse are way better at this than I am. I am not good at guessing these scores. Okay, Brandon, what about the audience score?
Audience score, because there's a lot of fans out there, and Brad's one of those fans. So I'm going to say that at least it was at a 90%.
Off by two again. Wow.
I don't know. That's a little. Both guesses are off by two.
See, told you. Told you. I knew he was going to do that.
All right, 92%. Now, what I like about this, and as I have to say this again, because Brandon and I don't put too much stock into Rotten Tomatoes. We just do that because it's kind of fun to guess it. But there are still a lot of people who live and die by Rotten Tomatoes scores. For some reason. Brett, are you one of those people, or do you just not care about Rotten Tomatoes like we don't?
I don't give a hoot and a holler about Rotten Tomatoes, to be honest with you.
Okay, good. Good, good. The good thing about this is the critics hate this movie, and the audience loves it, and that's the way it should be.
Yes, sir.
That is the way it should be. That's the way it was in the 90s and the 80s and all the way going up. And then somewhere in the 2000s, it shifted where the critics love it and the audiences don't. And I don't like that world. I want the critics to hate the movies and I want the audience to love them.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad we're all in agreement there because nobody's disagreeing, but
that's the truth. I mean, it's honestly not true.
What about you, Brett? You are younger than we are, so maybe you don't have that type of feeling or memory.
In terms of liking a movie versus like if a critic likes it or not, I really don't think that should matter. Like, if you had fun, good for you. If you feel like you spent good money on a good ticket, more power to you. It's the critics who get to see this crap for free because they have some say, and they think that makes them think they're higher and mightier than other people. And honestly, I don't really think that's a good way to not only not see yourself, but putting yourself above others in terms of opinion. That's just not going to create a good environment for enjoying a movie or series or something.
Fair enough. Very good. So yeah, we just have fun watching the movies and talking about the movies. Some of us have seen this movie. No. Some of us have not. Brandon, we will try not to spoil it, but we're going to, so.
You're going to spoil it.
We're going to spoil it, aren't we, Brett?
Of course we are.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as of this recording, this is the second weekend of the release. So most people have already seen it, and now the people that are going to see it are the ones who heard that it was pretty fun. And Brandon will probably see it in the third weekend, trying to keep that box office up. Just like he did this past week with Dune 2, trying to keep that box office up.
Well, I mean, I had to choose. I mean, it was Imaginarium. I watched that. That was a good movie.
Did you watch Imaginarium, Imaginary, Brett?
It was a movie.
Oh, ow.
I have not seen that. So.
I didn't dislike it, but at the same time, there's a few bits of it where I was like, hold on now. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, it was a PG-13 horror movie, so I wasn't really expecting a whole lot with it, but it was still all right.
Okay. So what is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire about? I'm going to read this little short plot synopsis. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. No, that's not what it's about. Is that... You agree with that, Brett? Is that what it's about?
Loosely.
What about you, Brent? Is that... Oh, damn it. You haven't seen it yet.
Ha, 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 ha.
You know what? I'm just sitting here thinking about this. It's you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Brandon. Because you did not see this. And I know that on the opening weekend of a certain movie that is absolutely a disgusting claptrap movie, just a slime mold of a movie, a fungus of a movie, a cavity of a movie.
Are you talking about Avatar?
Syphilis of a movie.
You talking about Avatar?
Chlamydia of a movie.
Halloween Ends.
Man of Steel. You saw that the opening.
Oh my God, you did not say that. You need to stop that. You need to stop that.
You did see that opening weekend, didn't you?
I did. But it's Man of Steel. What do you want? Come on.
Oh, man. All right. I think I'm over.
You like Man of Steel. You know you do.
Huh.
Quit acting like you don't.
Nope.
We already know.
But anyway. Yeah, I guess basically that's what it's about. So, Brett, what were your impressions of this movie?
I want to say the further the movie went along, I do think I did like this movie just a smidge bit more than the previous movie, which was Godzilla versus Kong or Kong versus Godzilla, whatever the order was. But if I had to give it out of a 100% grading, I might want to give it maybe a high 70, low 80.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. I can go with that.
I don't know if I like this more than the last one or not. I don't think I did.
Why not? I definitely did.
I'd have to watch the other one again.
Why not?
This one raises more questions for me and concerns.
This Godzilla raises more questions and concerns?
Yes.
Why?
It concerns me.
Why?
I guess we ought to tell Brandon the spoilers or he'll never know why.
Because I'm sitting here like, why?
You know, it starts out simple enough. Godzilla's running around killing monsters that are out there like he's supposed to do. And then he goes to sleep in the Colosseum. I mean, you know what that does? That just proves how great builders Romans were. They built that Colosseum big enough for Godzilla to lay down in it and go to sleep.
Wait, I thought he was in the... Wait, I'm confused. I thought he
I mean, that's a big spoiler. I'm sorry, Brandon. But yeah, Godzilla goes to sleep in the Colosseum.
Yeah, Godzilla just kind of claims the Roman Colosseum is
it's really cool. That is pretty awesome. And that just goes to, you know, reinforce how great a builders the Romans were.
But I thought he was in the inner earth. I'm confused.
They nuked his last lair to bring him back to life in King of the Monsters, remember?
Yeah. So he gets to do that. And King Kong is running around in the hollow earth, exploring it, you know, just having a great old time, just, you know, trying to find more of his kind. Right, Brett? Is that what Kong is doing down there?
Yeah, and he meets Doug.
He meets who?
Doug.
Who is Doug?
Yeah, tell Brandon who that is.
He's that goofy ass, like, big fat lizard that, like, appeared for, like, 5 seconds in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, okay.
And he blew up in meme status in the Godzilla fan to the point where everyone started calling him Doug. And then the directors themselves were like, you know what? Fine. We'll call him Doug. And then he got so popular because of a stupid meme that they gave him a few more seconds of screen time in this movie. And he now has an action figure and a plushie you can buy.
Oh, wow.
Was that a big enough spoiler for you, Brandon?
Well, I mean, I knew who Doug is now.
It's not going to ruin your enjoyment of the film, is it?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, you get to see Kong fighting some stuff and Godzilla fight some stuff. Is the beginning when Kong rips the thing in half and takes a bath in it?
What?
Brett?
Yeah, there's a scene where he's getting chased by these like big dog-like monsters, and to like intimidate the other dog-like monsters to not attack him, he like grabs one of them and like rips him in half and bathes in their blood. He goes, ah! And goes like all psychopath on him to scare him away.
Yeah. Then he
takes a shower. In Doom 2, right?
What?
The giant sandworms, right? They show more of them in the movie, and they do a lot of destruction too. You know?
Okay. What?
I mean, wouldn't we consider kaijus too? Because they're really big monsters.
I mean, they're big ass worms. I mean,
kinda. No.
Right?
No. Okay. No. No. I know, Brandon. Now, you're really excited about that. Now we can do a Dune 2 show, and it can go with our 1984 Dune show that we did that we have not posted yet. We have not put that up yet. But, yeah, we can compare those two now. So, you know, you kind of get the basic thing. So is Skarsgård in this, Brett?
His character was in the last movie, but his character is not in this movie.
I couldn't find anything as to why he wouldn't be in it.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, because I actually do a little bit of like the research and of like the events between each of the movies with like the novels and the comics and whatever they do, and his character is just nowhere to be seen between the events of the last movie and this movie. He's just gone.
So here's one of the first things, like, now this doesn't ruin the movie for me, but it's just kind of like I don't think it was needed. Kong has a toothache. So the only thing I can figure is they give him a toothache to give him a reason to go to the surface. And then that introduces the guy who replaces Skarsgård. And
that is Dan Stevens as Trapper.
Mr. Dan Stevens, who I guess he's an up-and-coming star who has been in the new movie Abigail that's coming out. He's in that. He's in the English version. He does a voice in the English version of The Boy and the Heron. He is in an episode of the Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of the Curiosities.
He was Beast in a lot of TV,
a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, he was Beast in the live action Beauty and the Beast, right?
Nobody watched that.
Not a whole lot of it. I think Brett, he played a...
Did you watch it, Brett?
Yeah, it was whatever.
Yeah, he watched it. He thought it was a hoot, right?
it was whatever.
Okay.
I think he played, if I'm not mistaken, he also played like the abusive boyfriend in Colossal too, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, maybe.
That movie was kind of, oh yeah, he did. I'm looking at his filmography right now. He was the boyfriend in Colossal. That's kind of cool. So this technically is not his first kaiju flick. Okay.
Yeah, so he's, oh snap. Brandon. We missed this.
What?
He is in. He played Clerval in the 2004 Frankenstein miniseries. Holy crap. We have seen a movie with him, and this is the second Dan Stevens movie we are doing on our show.
Wow.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Dan Stevens. We were in a Hallmark Frankenstein movie, so wow.
It was still a good movie.
Yeah, it was decent. So, I mean, we're still kind of put that on hold. We got a couple of Frankenstein movies to still finish up. But, okay, so Dan Stevens takes over. He is Trapper. It's the only reason I can figure he's there, but Kong falls down, and they take his tooth out, and it's just a weird scene. So then he gets his tooth replaced.
He get his tooth replaced.
They give him a big metal tooth to replace his big incisor.
And now, unless I missed it, because I did have to go to the restroom in the middle of the movie, unless I missed something, Kong doesn't do anything with his metal tooth special. Did I miss something, Brett?
It gives him the ability to eat, basically.
Okay, so there's nothing special that he does in terms of fighting with the tooth that makes
They just give him the prosthetic tooth because like it was bugging him so much to the point he couldn't eat, and that's kind of why he went to the surface.
Yeah, so that's the only reason that they did that, to get him to go to the surface, because he had to go to the surface for something else, right? Was there something else, too, that he needed to... Or did he just go back down there right away, right?
He kind of just went back down there right away after they gave him the tooth, because, like, it was bugging him so much to the point where he's like, I gotta go get this fixed or something.
Okay, now we'll skip ahead a little bit, Brett, and talk about some spoilers for Brandon.
I got a question.
What?
So I've seen the trailer.
Did you?
Well, just now. What? So, again, trailer number three. So who's the big red, hairy Godzilla-looking dude?
That's right. We're going right there now to Scar, one of the greatest named villains of all time.
The Scar King.
His name. This I thought was strange. When he goes down there and he finally finds all those guys. I don't remember if he had a reason to go over there and look in Kong's mouth. Did he, Brett? Did he have a reason to go look in Kong's mouth? Because he runs over there, lifts up his lip, and looks at the fake tooth.
And then he laughs at it, and all the other apes nervously join in the laughter.
I'm like, why would he go over there and look inside his mouth? Did he notice he had a fake tooth? And why is that a big deal, and why would he even... what'd you think about that, Brett? What was the point of that?
Comedic effect, really. That's also the fact that if they give Kong more screen time and more plot, I feel like with the Kong species specifically, they can give them more humanization to have them fill in for just human characters, so they can just have moments with CGI and just noises to kind of tell a story from that, because since they're ape-like, they're more made to be a social species to be more relatable to the audience or whatever, is my assumption.
Okay, so it was just kind of there for no reason?
Just kind of there for comedic effect, really. Nothing else.
Everything you described, they could do without doing that.
Pretty much.
Okay, so the Scar King, was he a giant orangutan? What was he?
He was... there's not really anything specifying if he's like the exact same species as Kong, but he is a Kong-like cousin species.
So what about all of Scar King's subjects?
They are basically the same exact species as Kong.
So they're gorillas?
Yeah, they are Kong Titan gorillas.
So they're apes.
Okay, so this... I don't know why they did it this way, but I guess it works. He just kind of finds a subterranean hollow earth.
Huh?
Yeah, he finds a subterranean realm inside of the subterranean realm, basically.
Yeah, so
where he finds the rest of his kind is trapped and subjugated.
So they were trapped down there with the Scar King, and he finds that little... what's the little ape's name? Did you name him, or did he have a name in the movie?
In the marketing and the promotional material, his name is Suko. They did not name him in the movie at all.
So there's that little ape, and I thought that was a pretty fun scene where he looks at him and he thinks they're going to work together. And then what does he do? He runs up and bites Kong.
He
right?
bites Kong on the finger because he's nervous. And the reason why Suko walks up to him is because there's other apes that jump Kong because he's an outsider or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Kong picks up Suko and he's going to beat the ever living crap out of the other apes. And it was the funniest scene in the entire movie.
It was pretty cool. So yeah, then he goes down into the subterranean realm and Kong gets the hell beat out of him.
So
he held his own for a good bit.
Oh, he did. He absolutely did. Yeah.
Oh, he beat the crap out of one ape, and then he actually was doing good against Scar King for a bit.
Yeah. Then the Scar King, that's when he brought out that, dragon. What was that?
Looks like Brandon has a question before we move on to her.
You got a question?
Yes. So you're telling me that there's a subterranean world under an inner earth world.
Is that what you guys are telling me? It's basically like an upper layer than a lower layer.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it that way.
But it's science fiction. Try to suspend your belief for like 2 minutes here.
Yeah, they could have done something else where he just goes around a mountain and they're on the other side of the mountain or something.
Well, I mean, the way how they make the center of the Earth seem like it was big anyway.
It's pretty big, yeah. So now it's even bigger.
Oh my gosh. I can't take it.
What do you mean you can't take it?
I should have went to go see this movie.
You should have.
I still think it's a fun-ass movie.
Oh, it is. It is. So then that causes him to go back, right? And he's got a really badly hurt arm this time. I'm sorry, Brett. Can you tell us about the new dragon-type thing that we see?
There is a gigantic new female monster new to the Godzilla franchise. Her name is Shimo.
Shimo.
She has been hyped up and marketed ever since the script got leaked a couple years ago. The Godzilla fan base went bananas over trying to guess what she was like. And her whole entire character is, she was apparently the monster that started the Ice Age in this setting, in this universe, because she has control over ice powers. And she is a big old monster. She's even a little bit bigger than Godzilla in terms of girth and height, even. And she's a four-legged monster. Essentially, she's just a big ice dragon. That's all she really is. And Scar King somehow finds a crystal that can control her and order her around like an attack dog, basically.
Wait. So Scar King is somewhat smart?
Yeah. He's an ape. Of course he's smart. Like, he's you can definitely tell he is malicious to the point where he's actually intentionally malicious, because you can see in the scenes where Kong interacts with his species for the first time, Scar King is all like, oh, Zuko led Kong to us, and now there's an outsider here. And when one of the other apes tries to stand up for Zuko, Scar King is like, oh, okay, no big deal. And then he kills that ape by kicking him in lava. So you know he's intentionally evil to rule over his subjects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, he is a smart villain. He's an intelligent villain, and he's a very malicious villain. And they make that pretty clear with his body language and how he acts. He has no spoken lines of dialogue for being a giant ape, but they make it pretty clear in his mannerisms and body language that they wanted to convey that he is indeed just evil for the sake of being evil. One of those kind of villains.
Yeah. So then Kong, he has to get out of there, right?
Yep, because he gets blasted by the giant ice dragon, and he gets frostbite in one of his arms, and he has to run away.
So what happens to him then?
He bleeds all of Scar King's subjects on a wild goose chase back to his old lair, where he uses a bunch of booby traps he set up to hunt with to get rid of the other apes.
That was cool.
When one of those booby traps doesn't work, Zuko sets it off for him and above, because Zuko actually warms up to Kong despite being used as a little club by him a couple hours earlier. Because Kong, unlike Scar King, who is implied to be Zuko's father because they're the exact same color shape.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Kong is the first adult girl that actually showed Zuko like some actual affection and care, because number one, he didn't immediately beat the crap out of Zuko when he like did something bad. He only used him as a club is that one time.
Yeah,
he actually gives him food. He actually defends him from another monster. So Zuko's like, oh my god, he actually cares about me.
He gives him a piece of that. What was that? A big giant lizard?
Yeah, there's like a big giant snake thing that Kong fights in this ocean area where they stop to like take a rest and get a drink, and after Kong beats it, he fights it, chops it up, and uses it for meat.
What's the matter, Brandon?
Missing all the excitement.
I know. You'll see it now. Now you'll run out to see it.
It's a fun movie. It really is.
It is. It really is fun. Now, is calling a movie fun, is that not a valid thing to say?
Yeah, it's not a valid thing to say.
You don't think it is?
Nope.
I've been seeing a few things here lately where people are getting upset with other people calling movies fun.
Yeah, I'm one of them right now because I didn't get to see it.
So. I've been seeing a lot of discourse about this in the Godzilla fandom, actually, to the point where a lot of people who did not enjoy the movie, who are self-proclaimed Godzilla fans, go, oh, just saying it's a shut your brain up and enjoy it kind of movie doesn't excuse mediocrity. And I'm just like, There's a big, big difference between movies that are intentionally cheesy and don't take themselves seriously, that are made with love, versus movies that are kind of intentionally cheesy and action-y, but we're not made with love, and we're kind of half-assed and just rushed out the door, a.k.a. half the most recent Marvel movies or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, is this where Kong gets a power fist?
Yeah, he gets a big giant gauntlet, which is basically like he gets a Nintendo Power Glove power up, basically. Where,
yes.
There's this whole scene. There's this whole little plot with the humans going around because there's like three plots going on at once. There's the human cast exploring Hollow Earth, and they find the Iwi tribe, which are basically like the same tribe of people that you saw in the Kong movie on Kong Sky Island. But basically, they're just living in Hollow Earth instead. And unlike their counterparts from the surface, because they live in Hollow Earth, the Hollow Earth gives them the ability to be telepaths or whatever, so they can have a reason to not hide them to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And while the human plot's going on, eventually Kong meets up with his human compatriots. He's messed up pretty bad. Zuko takes him in there to where the deaf sign language girl is. Gia is her character name. It still boggles my mind how one of the best written human characters is literally a deaf girl. Boggles my mind. But Kong gets injured. Trapper decides, okay, we're gonna have this Deus Ex Machina. I'm gonna pull out of my butt here. That magically fixes Kong's frostbite because this gauntlet injects him with like this super serum that like makes him all better.
Yeah.
And then he uses the gauntlet to like get up, and he kind of uses it as like a prosthetic slash upgrade kind of.
Yeah. While all this is going on, right, Godzilla is on the move, and they're oddded out by what he's doing. Where does he go? He goes to a lair, kills something, and sucks up all the energy in there?
Basically, there's this plot where Gia, the deaf girl, she's hearing, oh, I'm hearing something, I think I'm going crazy. Godzilla hears it, too. What it is the Iwi tribe in the middle of the Earth sending out, like, signals. It's basically like an SOS signal that they're giving out because they know that Scar King is about to do something heinously evil or whatever and go on the move. And so
did the Scar King, how did he get out? I mean, did I miss that in the movie? How did they know he was going to get out? Because wasn't he trapped down there?
He wasn't really trapped because there is a part where it's implied Scar King actually goes roaming about and he finds one of the Monarch outposts and he beats the crap out of it and kills everyone there.
Yeah, okay. So they're the ones that just, I almost forgot about that.
Scar King
destroyed that outpost because the humans look at that and go, Kong didn't do that, but that looks like, you know, the handprint.
Yeah, Scar King's whole way to mark his new territories, he leaves a giant bloody handprint where he's been.
Okay, yeah, so something is going to happen, and Godzilla is, like, powering up to fight this. Because I guess, don't they say that he fought those apes before, and he almost lost?
Basically, because way back then, that's when Godzilla was, like, way, way weaker before he got super juiced.
Yes, Brandon?
So why Godzilla, why was he purple?
What's that?
All Godzilla purple.
Well, he didn't start out purple in the movie.
He's not purple, he's pink.
Brett, tell Brandon why he changed colors.
Okay, so basically at the beginning of the movie, for that shows like Godzilla's side of the story, he's fighting another monster who's that big crab one that we've seen in King of the Monsters. And if you follow the comics at all, you know Godzilla has fought her already another time. And basically Godzilla is done with her because Godzilla gave her enough chances to stop being a piece of crap to people, basically, because he decided, you're a risk, you gotta go. So he kills the crab girl. Decides, he starts hearing that signal the Iwi tribe's given off. He goes to a radiation plant in France that's going nuclear. So basically, he saves France from getting nuked by themselves, basically, because he goes to a destroyed power plant, sucks up all the radiation, starts getting supercharged from it, and then he decides, there's another monster I got beef with. I'm going to go fight her, who is this giant sea dragon, who's also in the comics as well. Her name's Tiamat, based off the whole legend of like the sea dragon goddess or whatever, because a lot of the monsters in this universe are named after deities and mythological figures.
So technically, Godzilla's going around just being a kick-ass hero.
Yeah, he beats up a giant crab monster named Scylla, then he goes and beats up Tiamat, basically makes them into absolute jokes because he kills them in no time flat at all. And apparently where Tiamat's lair in the Arctic Ocean is situated is a perfect spot to get hit by solar radiation. So basically Godzilla crawls up in her little ice cave, takes a little nap. The solar radiation plus the radiation he got from the power plant juices him up, changes his body structure, his spikes get all glowy, and then he turns pink mode. So basically he forces himself to go through metamorphosis so he can become stronger. And there's a brief moment when the Monarch people are scanning him, and they have an estimate where that he has a 20 times higher energy payout.
Yep. It was pretty cool.
It's a blink and you'll miss it moment, but basically the screen says his energy levels are 20 times higher now.
Yeah. So what are they got? Does Godzilla need to go down to the Hollow Earth, or is everybody going to come up there and fight up there?
Well, basically, they think that because Godzilla, his territory is the surface, Kong's territory is the Hollow Earth. That was basically their agreement after they fought in Godzilla versus Kong.
Wait. Time out.
Yeah.
That was their agreement?
There is a little unspoken agreement that they kind of confirm in the comics. They also like say this is how it works in this movie, is they say Godzilla rules above, Godzilla Kong rules below. That was the whole little unspoken agreement between those two monsters after their little peace treaty when they fought Mechagodzilla in the last movie.
Yeah.
In the comics, is Dark Horse, right?
No, not Dark Horse. I don't remember who makes them. Dark Horse did do Godzilla comics quite a ways back, but it's not Dark Horse that does these comics.
It's probably IDW then.
It's not IDW. IDW does a different Godzilla line.
Okay.
All right, so Kong has to go up there, right, and get Godzilla to come down.
So basically, they decide, Gia, the deaf girl, she has this bright idea. We're going to need help because basically Suko, the little mini Kong Jr., acted as a scout. And he's like, hey, Scar King and Shimo and all his evil apes are coming. We got to get ready. They're coming. And the Gia has a bright idea. Tells Kong in sign language because Kong knows ASL in this universe. We need help. And his idea is like, okay, I'm going to go get Godzilla.
Somebody else shows up, right?
Oh, yeah. There's this whole Chosen One plotline destiny thing with the deaf girl Gia, where apparently she's basically this universe's version of, if you've ever seen any of the other Godzilla movies that involve Mothra at all.
That's why I was getting to see Mothra.
Yeah, the Mothra always has like these little priestesses that are like these tiny fairies that follow her around everywhere and like spread the good gospel of Mothra. Basically, the deaf girl is like one of those for Mothra in this movie, because after the events of King of the Monsters, Mothra died in that movie to give Godzilla power to beat Ghidorah. But Mothra's whole shtick and like anything that she's like ever in is like she always reincarnates herself later. Right. So she reincarnated, hatches a new egg, became a pupa or whatever, hatched again, and then she went to Hollow Earth to go take a nap with the Iwi tribe down there. And the whole legend was like, oh, only Gia or the Chosen One can wake Mothra up, and it turns out it's the Deaf Girl. So she wakes Mothra up, and basically Mothra splits Kong and Godzilla up from fighting, because God's like, oh, that's
they
my...
Yeah. Hey,
that's Mothra, that's my ally. And so Godzilla realizes Kong's not the enemy, because when Godzilla sees Kong comes to the surface in Egypt, he's not very happy to see him, because there's this whole little scene where Kong's like literally pointing to the big giant glowy portal in the ground. Bad guy down there! Bad guy down there! And Godzilla doesn't want none of that. He tackles Kong and they fight. Godzilla suplexes Kong off the Egyptian pyramid. Kong wails on Godzilla's face for a bit until he's kind of stunned. Tries to drag Godzilla to the big portal and Godzilla tries to blast him. And Godzilla pins him down, starts stomping on his chest like he did in the last movie. And then Mothra has like literally blast Godzilla off of Kong to split him up. It's a whole big spectacle. And then
you got a question, Brandon?
He looks dumbfounded.
He's like, I can't believe I missed
this awesome action scene in this awesome movie about giant monsters.
It's pretty cool. The fights in this are pretty cool.
They're pretty good for being the lowest budget movie so far in the series.
Yeah. So let's get to the very end where Godzilla and Kong fight Shark King and all that. How does that take place?
Brad? Basically, after Mothra splits them up, Godzilla and Kong have like this telepathic unspoken agreement that we're going to team up to fight Shark King and Shimo and his army. So they go back in the portal. Godzilla, Kong, and Mothra shoot down into the portal. They start running at Scar King and the other apes and Shimo. And there's this whole big spectacle scene where basically the Iwi tribe down there, they have like these giant crystals that gives them the ability to control gravity. And that's how they're able to like move these big ass stones to make these huge pyramids. And so they use these crystals to shut the gravity off to try to keep the apes from going to the portals. So there's like this big zero gravity fight for a while where like all the apes are fighting Godzilla and Kong and like with no gravity. It's like a big visual. It's a pretty good visual fight. But after the gravity goes on, Scar King, Shimo, and Kong and Godzilla. Wait a minute,
Brandon, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. And no, there is nobody sliding across asphalt in this movie.
What day?
Oh. Godzilla does do this awesome like little backflip off a rock, though. That's pretty cool.
He does, yeah.
Well, it's not good if there's no asphalt sliding.
So, what happens in the end, Brett? Who wins?
So, basically, there's a big showdown in Brazil because despite coming out of a pretty nearby portal, the portals don't make any sense in Hollow Earth. But, yeah, he's got a question.
Right. So these portals are just like stationary everywhere from like
there's stationary portals everywhere in the Hollow Earth area, especially in the lower realm of it, that just appear randomly on the surface. Basically, the portal that Kong went to go find Godzilla, he wound up in Egypt, and at the time Godzilla was in Gibraltar. But in the next portal they go through, Kong, Godzilla, Shimo, and Scar King all wind up in Brazil, and they have this like big old final showdown Rio de Janeiro. Basically, Scar King orders Shimo to start a new ice age. She blasts the sky, freezes Rio into like a popsicle, basically. Turns it into an Arctic wasteland. Yes. Another question.
Are they doing this telepathically? Or are they actually talking?
I mean, they don't like actually talk, but basically like Scar King, like he's got that crystal that he can control Shimo with. So basically he points it at her, which causes her immense pain until she like actually does what he's trying to tell her to do. Yeah. There's no spoken dialogue, but he like roars at her and points the crystal at her and makes her does whatever.
So they kill the Scar King? Do they rip him in half and bathe in his blood?
Basically, the fight's it's a pretty decent fight visually, but in the end, Zuko brings Kong his trusty axe that was made from a previous Godzilla's dorsal fin. And Zuko uses that axe to break the crystal that Scar King is using to control Shimo. And in that moment, everyone flies backwards from the impact. Kong, basically, Scar King grabs Zuko afterwards to beat the crap out of him. Yes. Question.
So, where are the humans at in this whole thing?
They're still in the middle. They're still in the Middle Earth area.
They're all dead.
They're on the Hollow Earth area still because Mothra barely saved them from dying because they try to, because Trapper, the new human character that Dan Stevens does, there's a point in the fight where he, attracts a bunch of bird monsters to like delay the Scar King. Yeah, he like that he goes crazy. He goes in like this like jet plane thing called the Hollow Earth air vehicle or whatever, the Heaves, I think they abbreviate it as. And there's a feature those little jets have where they can camouflage themselves as other monsters. And so he uses that camouflage to attract a bunch of like electric birds to like fight the Scar King and like delay him a little bit. And during that whole part, a ape jumps at the jet while there's like the zero gravity part, and Mothra has to like save him or whatever. So like Mothra's in the Hollow Earth, along with the humans cleaning up the other apes.
So and how's this end, Brett?
So basically, it ends by Zuko shatters the crystal that Scar King uses to control Shimo.
Yeah.
Scar King grabs Zuko, about to beat the crap out of him, but Kong saves Zuko, grabs Scar King. He throws Scar King at Godzilla. Godzilla tails the crap out of him. Kong grabs him again before Godzilla can do a final blow. Shimo realizes, I'm free. So she blasts Scar King and freezes him into a popsicle. And after she does that, Kong's looking at him as he's like frozen there, gasping for air, going, Kong throws him on the ground, shatters him into pieces, and starts going beats the ever living crap out of him and shatters him like big monkey popsicle pieces.
I know, Brandon. It's going to be great when you see it. You're going to like it.
And then basically it ends with them looking up at the sky going, oh, Ice Age, how do we fix that? And God's like, that's what I powered up for. So Godzilla does a big atomic blast in the sky, cancels the Ice Age, turns Rio's climate back to normal. And then Shimo, basically after being controlled all these years, without being controlled by a giant maniacal psychopath ape, she's actually a pretty big dopey puppy underneath all that exterior. She looks up at the sun, dumbfounded, because it's the first time she's seen the sun in millions of years. She's like, oh. And so, basically, Godzilla goes back to Rome, sleeps in his little coliseum. Kong, Suko, and Shimo go back to all the other apes in the middle of the Earth. And Kong takes over as the new leader to lead his species into a prosperous era without a tyrannical ruler.
New Empire?
Yeah, that's why it's kind of why it's called the New Empire, basically. Because that...
Yeah.
I think they couldn't name drop this because of copyright with Universal. But I think something they could have done cheeky with the human cast is like, oh, Kong's gone off his kind now. So does that make him king? I guess you could say he's King Kong now. the thing is, I don't think they could do that because of the copyright from Universal.
Yeah.
Because never once did they ever call him King Kong in the series. He's always just Kong.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a copyright thing is why they can't do that.
I think you're right.
Oh, wait. Didn't King Kong just become public domain?
I'm going to look that up, actually.
I think he just came public domain, just like Mickey Mouse did this year.
Uh-oh.
I think so.
Well, Brandon, what do you think? Does that make the movie sound good?
Yeah, make it sounds awesome. I'm just mad I didn't go see it.
Yeah. You'll go see it now.
I'm going to see it now. Yeah.
So this... this brings up some concerns to me. Well, I did like the movie. This does not make me not like the movie. It's a King Kong movie with Godzilla in it.
Godzilla and the humans are basically the... sorry, not Godzilla. Kong and the humans were the A plot, basically. Yes. Godzilla took a bit of a backseat, but here's why I like this movie a bit more as a Godzilla fan. I felt like, despite having a smidge bit less screen time, he did more. He killed two other monsters.
Yeah.
He stopped the radiation plant from exploding. He powered up. He fought Kong again for a little bit, and then he pretty much kicked Shima's ass left and right before she decided she was a puppy.
But does this mean the Legendary series can't now make a Godzilla film without Kong? Because that's kind of what I'm getting.
There was an interview with Adam Wingard, the director of this movie, that he said, if this movie does well, I want to do one that focuses more on Godzilla. That's what he said. Does that mean that he's going to do a Godzilla and Kong movie where Godzilla's the A-plot, where Kong's the B-plot? Or is it going to be a solo Godzilla movie? I don't know. But here's how I see it. Kong had one solo movie. Godzilla had two. Kong had a mini-series on Netflix in this same universe, and Kong has also had more comics in this universe than Godzilla has.
Well, what about Monarch? That was on Apple TV.
That takes place in this universe as well, yes. It goes back and forth between taking place during the Vietnam era and shortly after the events of the first Godzilla movie and before the events of the second Godzilla movie.
Right.
That series bored me to tears. It was really boring. I fell asleep trying to watch it twice.
Wow.
I just like it that they had Kurt Russell's son playing him.
Kurt Russell played him play like an older character, and like his son played him in the flashbacks. It was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that was probably the best bits of that entire series.
So Brett, do you think that this movie? Do you think people went to see this movie who saw Minus One?
I think that's why there's a lot of disparity between the critic reviews, is because for the first time in the near 70 years, Godzilla has existed as a franchise. It is one of the longest running movie franchises ever. If you ask any casual moviegoer, what's the longest running movie franchise? Some might say, oh, it's James Bond. Oh, it's this or that. It's Godzilla. He's been around for almost 70 years now. Next year is his 70th birthday.
Yep.
And the first time in 70 years, Godzilla has won an American Oscar. And that was Minus One for the visual effects.
Yep.
Minus One made history.
Yes,
it did. It broke a bunch of records for an overseas movie in America. It won a crap load of awards and a lot of little more minor award shows. It won a crap load of Japanese awards. But for the first time in history, a Godzilla movie won an American Oscar. And I think that's why there's a crap load of disparity between the critic reviews. A lot of critics who are entry-level Godzilla fans were going in expecting a more serious minus one type movie. Not going in expecting a cheesy action schlock fest.
Which, that's kind of strange to me that they might expect that. I mean, because this kind of follows what the last one was doing.
Exactly. That's the thing with that one, because basically... Like they
weren't paying attention.
Yeah, because if you go... There's videos online going around, but where Adam Winger, the director of this movie and the last movie, meets with Takahashi Yamazaki, who's the director of Godzilla Minus One. They get along great. Every video you see them together, they're always chatting about favorite Godzilla movies.
Godzilla Minus One was, you know, pretty serious.
It was a more serious Godzilla movie, yes.
But there's room for both, right? I mean, there's room for both fun, goofy Godzilla movies, and there's room for the nice, serious Godzilla movies.
Exactly.
What I've always enjoyed.
That's basically a serious
Godzilla movie. I'm going to pick this one or that one.
Exactly.
I want to see something fun. I want to see Jet Jaguar. I'm going to pick that one.
This is, as someone who's been a Godzilla fan since he was in diapers, Godzilla fans are living in an era right now where they can have a more serious Godzilla or a more fun Godzilla, or both if they like. Yeah. This is the most Godzilla content we have had since that god-awful, horrible, despicable drought we had between the years of 2005 to 2013.
Yeah.
That was the worst freaking drought for Godzilla ever, because that was after Final Wars ended and Toho put the license on ice.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Being a Godzilla fan from 2005 to 2013 sucked.
It was kind of sad, but you know what? I do like the way they do that. Now, you know, I do kind of appreciate that. It's not oversaturated.
There is a common analogy going around right now. It's basically called a two cake scenario, where an artist will feel like, oh, this guy's cake is better than my cake. A lot of people see that with God, trying to compare Minus One to Godzilla X Kong. Well, Godzilla X Kong is as good as Minus One. But people who enjoy both the cheesy action and the more serious Godzilla, we have a situation where we're like, holy shit, two cakes.
And they're both good.
And they're both tasty to us, because we're living in an era right now where we have so much Godzilla, we don't know what to do with all of it. Versus living in 2005 to 2013, where we don't have a single movie, we don't have a single webisode, we don't have nothing.
Yeah.
All we have is a couple of video games, some fake YouTube trailers, the hoaxes, scuttlebutt that lasted for 10 plus years. That's all we had.
Yeah. So, do you think that my concern is unfounded?
The concern of it, there never being a solo Godzilla movie in the legendary verse again, I don't think is unfounded, because number one, these movies have to do good to get the money to want to spend more money on the Godzilla license. Because unlike Kong, they have a lot more licensing jump rope and hula hoops to go through licensing-wise with Godzilla, because they got to work with a Japanese Eastern company to get the rights. Because they have to go, hey, Toho, can we do this with Godzilla? Yeah, sure. Can we do this? No, you can't do that. Can we do this? Sure. If I give you more money here, can I have Mothra? Maybe not. And if you look on the internet, there was going to be a monster in this movie that was not Mothra, that took Mothra's role. It was going to be this giant bird alien thing called Phosphora. That was his test screen name. But that monster did so badly in the test screenings, they went on their hands and knees and begged Toho for the license to Mothra until they caved in. So Mothra came back.
Yeah. No, I was afraid after... King of the Monsters didn't do well at the box office, that they were done.
It profited technically, but it didn't do as well.
Exactly. But they had already announced the Godzilla Kong movie. So it's like, okay, well, at least we'll get that.
It was at that point, like, okay, we'll get that, but then we had to deal with COVID, so that
delayed Godzilla. Yeah, then, of course, all that crap happened, and then,
Godzilla
came back. It came back on streaming first, and then the theaters reopened, and then Godzilla mm-hmm. Kong did well.
It did very well. It did very well for being a post-COVID movie.
For opening at the time, and for having been on streaming for, what was that, almost a month before theaters opened?
It was a few weeks before the theaters opened
back up. It was really close to a month, if not a month. Because I remember thinking, man, this is doing really well for what's happened.
Exactly.
So then when that happens, like, oh, maybe we will get some more. So that
was- And then they confirmed the sequel. Minus One happened. And after Minus One.
I guess I can't fault them for, you know, Legendary for saying, okay, well, the Kong Godzilla formula is working. People like it. They're going to see it. Why don't we keep it up? I mean, I can't fault them because I think King of the Monsters is one of the best ones in this series.
I'm a very biased Godzilla fan, and a lot of people disagree with me in saying King of the Monsters is indeed a really good movie because it was made by a Godzilla fan for Godzilla fans. There was a crap load of fan service in that movie.
Well, I'm just looking at this. I sent you guys this article, and it's got a nice little chart here that I think would be good to check out. Let me see if I can bring that up. There you go. You guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the financials for the MonsterVerse. You got 2014 Godzilla, 524 global. Skull Island, which I think that's one of the weakest ones. I like it, but I think it's pretty weak compared to the rest.
It has Samuel Jackson in it.
Well, I didn't hear you, Brandon. What?
It has Samuel Jackson in it.
Did it?
Yeah, he was a...
I mean, is that reason enough to make it one of the best ones in the series? I mean,
yeah.
Samuel Jackson also got swatted like a fly in that movie.
You're funny.
Well, man. It's Samuel.
Then you had King of the Monsters that came out in 2019, which you know you can see how much lower it did than the other two, even Skull Island.
I do have to fault King of the Monsters for one thing that they did that hurt them in box office.
Yeah.
They released way too goddamn close to Endgame.
Absolutely it did. And that was going to be my next question. How much do you think it got hurt by that? And
I think it got hurt quite a bit, actually. And there was even scuttlebutt in the Godzilla fandom about, did Disney pay some critics off to talk crap about Godzilla, but then praise Avengers about the same exact things they faulted Godzilla for?
Yeah,
because there was a lot of tropes that both those movies shared.
Yeah,
in terms of being like cheesy action and like not taking itself seriously.
Then you see Godzilla and Kong. Look what that did.
That was
global box office.
That was a freaking miracle right there.
Like as wow, a Godzilla fan. And you can see the Rotten Tomatoes scores off to the side with the audience and the critic scores, and then you can see where Godzilla Kong the New Empire is right now in its second weekend. I believe these numbers are up to date to the second weekend.
The box office.
These are the numbers as of 4/6. I'm sorry, it's right there at the bottom there.
The numbers as of 4/7 are 361 million actually.
So it's a lot.
It's a lot higher after one day. Just one day later, it's that much higher.
Yeah. So interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens. So also in that article, Mr. Weingard wants to do something about like the emotional depth of like Destoroyah, Godzilla versus Destoroyah.
Yes. He said, because a lot of people blew this out of context when he said this in the interview, is he said, I want to make a, if I'm allowed to, if this movie does well, I want to make a movie that focuses a bit more on Godzilla. And then he said, he quoted something along the lines of, I want to capture that same emotional impact that Godzilla versus Destoroyah had when they ended the Heisei era of movies with Godzilla's death and Godzilla Jr.'s rebirth or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of people took that out of context, and so there was articles all over the internet over this last weekend or so saying, Godzilla X Kong director teases Godzilla's death in a future movie. No, that's not what he said.
Yeah.
And I don't think Toho would even let him do that because I don't think they want to kill their moneymaker again because...
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of froze him in Shin Godzilla, and he's kind of implied to be coming back. And after Minus One's ending, I don't think Toho's ever going to want to kill their like bread maker child ever again, because they did that twice and it kind of screwed them over for a good bit.
Yeah. You like Destoroyah, Brett?
Godzilla vs. Destoroyah is probably one of the higher end of the movies, in my opinion. Yes, it's a perfect blend of serious and cheesy.
Yes, absolutely. Brandon, did you like Destoroyah?
I don't even think he knows what that is.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one?
Yes, I said that. I said I didn't see that one.
Did you said that?
Yeah.
He said that before the show. I believe he did.
Did you not see the movie we're talking about now either? Well, Brandon, I mean, that is really cool. You'll get to see Destoroyah for the first time. Which I wish I could see it for the first time again.
Oh.
And just, you know, be amazed again.
I remember when I saw it for the first time as a kid, and Godzilla like exploded and died, and I was like, Kidney was fucking depressed. I was out of it for weeks after I saw that.
Yeah.
I was down in the dumps like, they killed Godzilla.
The other thing that I thought was fun about this Godzilla Kong movie was it's almost like they were wanting to put Godzilla in a Planet of the Apes movie.
I won't disagree with that.
But the apes are, they's like, we can't have the apes tiny, so they made them big.
So they made the big apes, yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I thought, that's pretty neat, all right.
Well, I do gotta say, I am a Godzilla fan through and through. I will stand Godzilla every day of my life. And I even cheered when Godzilla essentially beat Kong in the last movie, because I was tired of people saying, oh, Kong's going to whip Godzilla's butt. I'm like, no, he's not. So basically, after the last movie, I cheered when Godzilla basically beat Kong up and basically broke his ribs and left him to die, basically.
That's right.
But I do got to give them props. I do like how they animated and kind of told a story with just body language with the Kong species in this movie. Despite there not being any real actors and just sound effects and animation, it was a decently told little story along with some interactions. Like, you could tell what was going on without being spoon-fed a story.
Yeah, absolutely. So, everybody, you make up your mind. If you don't like people saying that movies are fun because you think they don't have much else to say about them. Okay. Brett, you got any final thoughts?
I just gotta say, is if you're a Godzilla fan, if you like both the cheesier end and the more serious end, I do believe you'll like this movie, even though Godzilla does kind of take a backseat to Kong as a plot point device. A lot of discourse I am currently seeing in the Godzilla fandom and discussions about this movie is a lot of people are going, oh, Adam Wingard there says he wants to make a movie that's an homage to the Showa era movies where they were more cheesy, but this doesn't count because it's bigger. It's only CGI. There's no suits. It's a Hollywood budget. They're commercializing Godzilla. And I'm just looking at them. I'm like, my brother in Christ, how do you think a 70-year franchise has existed this long? They commercialized. Did you grow up as a Godzilla fan in the 90s where any video store you go into, there'd be big stands of Godzilla. His VHS tapes would be everywhere. There'd be Godzilla toys lining the freaking aisles everywhere if you go to a toy store.
Yep.
They commercialized him back in the 90s. Because a lot of people I'm seeing like, oh, it's comparable to a Marvel movie with how they're writing the human cast and these big budgets that just make everything nothing but more than a visual spectacle. And I'm like, it doesn't need to be that deep, dude.
Yeah.
They put care into this movie, unlike recent Marvel movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon, you got any final thoughts on this movie?
So, my final thoughts are, Doom 2, they had this worm, right?
Yeah.
And that was like the only kaiju I seen. And it was pretty good.
You know what? I think King Kong would pick that worm up, rip it in half, and eat it.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
I just said it.
It's got a freaking mouth at the front of it. It's got no legs or nothing. All he has to do is pound on the ground. It's going to jump out and go that way, and he's going to jump over it. And he's going to stick his fist right through the middle of it and rip out its guts and eat it.
He has to see him first.
Oh, he'll see him. Brandon, what should people do if they like what we're doing?
You should like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and follow us on Spotify. And... and iTunes.
All right. We'll talk to y'all next time.
Later, guys.
You have a good one.